Today's Amud is Beitza Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. We're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph by the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amud. So basically from here now until the end of the Masechta Kemat, we're going to be shifting our focus now to the halachos of Tchumen. So just to give a brief hakdama. So the halacha is that on Shabbos and on Yom Tif, a person is not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos away from his house. That's called his tchum. He can't go more than 2,000 amos. He's not allowed to leave his tchum. He can't go more than 2,000 amos away from his home. Now, if a person lives in the city, so then we don't measure the 2,000 amos from his house, then we view the whole city as being like his house. The whole city is like his house, and he could go 2,000 amos in each direction away from the city, not from his house, then we'll measure it from the city. So maybe just because most of today's Amud we're going to be on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, if maybe we could use Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis as the visual. So if you look at Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, if we visualize the top of the Gemara, the top 20 lines or so, the thinner lines of the Gemara, that being the person's house or the person's city. So now we measure 2,000 amos away from the Gemara. So a person, let's say, wants to go to the right. He wants to go where Taisus is. So he could go all the way 2,000 amos until the end of Taisus. And if he wants to go to the left, he could go to where Rashi is. He could go all the way to the left 2,000 amos away to the end of Rashi. That's all within his tchum, and he could go in all directions away from his house, away from his city. Now let's say a guy wants to go to the left, but he doesn't want to just stop by the end of Rashi. He has a shir to go to, and the shir is on Lamed Chasam and Aleph. The shir is on the next page. He wants to go farther. He wants to go further than 2,000 amos away to the left. So there is an etza. The etza is like this: is that you take two sudas worth of food, and he puts it at the end of his 2,000 amos. So he'll go, let's say, to the end of Rashi. He'll go to the left to the end of Rashi. He'll put down two sudas worth of food. He'll set it down before Yom Tif or before Shabbos. Once it's Bein HaShemashah, it's Bein HaShemashah already then, whatever, wherever he lives, that's where he lives. But he'll put the food there before Bein HaShemashah of Yom Tif or Shabbos, at the end of his 2,000 amos. And now that he does this, that's called that he's being kainah shvisa. We view that as kilu being, that's his dwelling place, that's where he lives. And now we'll measure his tchum, we'll measure his 2,000 amos from that makom shvisa, from that food that he put down. So now we could go 2,000 amos to the right, which would then be by the Gemara, meaning across Rashi all the way to the Gemara, and then he has that whole city is all like one place, so he could go throughout the whole Gemara. Or he could go to the left, and he'll be able to make it to the shir that's located on Lamed Chasam and Aleph. He'll be able to make it all the way to the left, even though it's more than 2,000 amos away from his city, but being that he set up his shvisa at the end of Rashi, so now we could go 2,000 amos away from his makim shvisa. Now we're going to see a chiddush in our Mishnah that not only does a person is a person limited to Tchum Shabbos and Tchum Yom Tif, not only is the person himself limited to this idea of Tchum, but even his possessions are limited to his Tchum. A person's clothing is limited to his Tchum. Any of his possessions is limited to his Tchum, a person's shirt. So now, let's say in this scenario, where Reuven, he wanted to go to the shir that was located on Lamed Chasam and Aleph, so he set up his shvisa, he took some food, and he brought it all the way to the left, he brought it towards the end of Rashi, within the city limits, but he brought it to the end of Rashi, so that now we can measure 2,000 amos to the left of that, so he can make it to Lamed Chasam and Aleph, and that's here. And Reuven has a friend, Shimon, and Shimon has a bar mitzvah to go to. Shimon borrows one of Reuven's shirts. Now, Shimon lives in the city. Shimon didn't set up a shvisa anywhere. His shvisa is just in the city. It's in the Gemara. That's his shvisa. Now, Reuven's tchum, now that Reuven set up his tchum all the way to the left, so that's his makom shvisa, he could go to the left 2,000 amos and make it all the way to the Gemara on Lamed Chasam and Aleph, or he could go to the right and make it to the city, to the Gemara. He's not going to be able to go to the right of the city. That's going to be more than 2,000 amos away from his makum shvisa. He's not going to be able to make it, let's say, to Taisus. Reuven's tchum doesn't extend to Taisus, because now he set up shvisa away from the city, so now his 2,000 amos are measured from that makum shvisa. So now Reuven can't go to Taisus. So we're going to see in our Mishnah that not only is Reuven not allowed to go to Taisus, but Reuven's possessions are not allowed to go to Taisus. So if Shimon borrowed Reuven's shirt, and Shimon has a kiddush to go to, that's by Taisus, Shimon is not going to be allowed to wear Reuven's shirt to the kiddush. Because being that it's Reuven's shirt is limited to Reuven's tchum. Being that Reuven's tchum doesn't extend towards Taisus, so now Shimon cannot take Reuven's shirt until he's not able to take it to Taisus. That's going to be the site of our Mishnah. So now let's read it inside, says the Mishnah. Habehema v'hakelim keragli habaylim. The halacha when it comes to tchumin is that a person's possessions, a person's animals, a person's kelim, his clothing, it's all like the feet of the owner. It has the same tchum as the owner. Whatever is the owner's tchum, that's the tchum of his possessions. And says the Mishnah that because of this rule, hamaiser behemtoi livnai oilaraya. If a person on Yom Tov, he gives his animal to the babysitter, he gives it, let's say, to his son to watch, he gives it to a shepherd to watch his behema, he gives his behema over to a babysitter on Yom Tov, so the halacha is that harei elu keragli habaylim. The son, the shepherd, if they want to take around the animal, it's limited to whatever the tchum of the owner is. They can't take it just wherever their tchum is. It's limited, the animal is limited to the tchum of the owner of the animal. And says the Mishnah on a similar note, that kelim hamiyuchadim le'echad mina achin, if let's say you have two brothers that live in the same house, and one of them has his own shoes, they don't share their shoes. One of them has, Reuven has his own pair of shoes. Shimon doesn't share it with him. So now that Reuven has his own pair of shoes, even if Shimon happens to borrow it 1 week, so harei elu kiraglov, they're like the feet of Reuven, meaning wherever Reuven's tchum is, so Shimon, if he wants to borrow Reuven's shoes, it's limited to Reuven's tchum. V'she'en miyuchadin, and if let's say you have something that's not miyuchad to any one specific brother, let's say they have something they share, let's say they have a hair, let's say, or you can't use a brush on Shabbos or Yom Tov, let's say they have a pot. Let's say on Yom Tov day they have a pot that they share. They share this pot and they cook in it. They both share it. So now if Shimon wants to take it somewhere or Reuven wants to take it somewhere, the halacha is v'she'ein miyuchadin harei elu kemakayim shaholchin. So then it's like the wherever the common denominator between Reuven and Shimon's tchumin are. So that's where this kli could be taken. Meaning it's going to be limited by both of their tchums. So if Reuven's tchum will allow you to go somewhere that Shimon's tchum doesn't allow you to go, Reuven can't take it there because Shimon's tchum is going to stop him. And if Shimon's tchum has somewhere to go that Reuven's tchum doesn't go to, so then Shimon's going to be limited and he's not going to be able to take the pot over there because each one is going to limit the other. Hashayol kli michaveiroi me'erev Yom Tov. However, someone who borrows something from his friend on Erev Yom Tov, so being that it was already in his possession, albeit borrowed, but being that it was already in his possession by Bein HaShemashis of Yom Tov, of Leil Yom Tov, because he borrowed it on Erev Yom Tov, so then it's Keragli HaShayo, we make it like the feet of the borrower. We go Basar the borrower. However, B'Yom Tov, if he only borrowed it on Yom Tov, which means that Bein HaShemashis of Leil Yom Tov, it was still in the possession of the lender, so then it's keragli hamashil, so then it's like the feet of the lender. Wherever the lender's tchum will extend to, so that's as far as this kli could go. You cannot take it, even if your tchum could go somewhere else, you're not able to take this kli to that area. It's limited to the tchum of the lender. And says the Mishnah that v'cheine isha sheshala mechaverta. So to a woman who, if she borrows from the neighbor, she borrows from her friend tavlin, some spices, umayim or water, umelach or some salt leisasa for her dough. She's making some bread and she has basically all the ingredients. She has the flour, but she needs to just borrow some spices, or she needs to just borrow some water, or she needs to just borrow some salt. In all these cases, being that now when she has her bread, bread. It's consisting of some of her own ingredients, but also some of the neighbor's ingredients. It's consisting of some of her friend's ingredients. So now, so now the food that she makes, the bread that she bakes, so now that bread, being that it's made out of food, from ingredients that were owned by two different people, so it's going to be limited to the tchum of those two people. Because it partially consists of ingredients from each one of them. And it was only borrowed on Yom Tov. So therefore, it's going to be limited to wherever the tchum of both of them could go. Rabbi Yehuda paiter b'mayim b'bnei she'ein b'hen mamish. If let's say Rachel was making some bread, and she borrowed some water, so even Rabbi Yehuda's maida, that if Rachel was making bread, and she borrowed salt, or she borrowed spices from her friend, from Leah, so then it's going to be limited to both of their tchums. But, says Rabbi Yehuda, if Rachel borrowed water from Leah, so now when you make bread, water doesn't manifest itself. You don't see, there's no manifestation of the water in the bread. The spices, yeah, you'll taste that. The salt, you'll taste it. The water, you don't see the fact that there's water when you see the bread. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda paiter b'mayim b'bnei she'ein b'hem mamish, that if Rachel borrowed water from Leah, so now Leah's tchum doesn't limit Rachel. Rachel could take that bread wherever her tchum goes. She doesn't have to say, oh no, but Leah's tchum doesn't go there, so now I can't bring it there. It doesn't work like that. By water, being that water is something which you don't see its identity in the bread, so therefore, we don't have to reckon with it, and Rachel could take it wherever her tchum goes, and she's not limited by Leah's tchum. Now, says the Gemara, we mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, based on this rule that we said that a person's possessions are limited by his tchum. So we said that if a person gives his animal to his son, if he gives his animal to a shepherd to babysit, so the animal is limited to the tchum of the owner. So says the Gemara now that masnisin deloy krebi daisa. That line of the Mishnah we see from our Mishnah not like Reb Daisa. What's Reb Daisa? What did Reb Daisa say? The Tani we learned in the Braisa. That Rabbi Daisa said, Va'amri la Abishal Aimer, or some say it's Abishal, that halaykeach behema mechaveray me'erev yamtif. So we're gonna really need the Seifa, but let's just see the Reisha anyways. So the Reisha of the Braisa says that a person, if he buys a behema from his friend on Erev Yamtif, Ruvain buys an animal from Shimon on Erev Yamtif, afal pi shemas shalay master lay ela b'yamtif, even though Shimon only actually gave Ruvain the animal on Yom Tov, being that he made the kinyan and he bought it before Yom Tov, harehi karagli halaykeach. So with regards to Ilchus Tchumen, we go basa Ruvain, because it was owned by Ruvain going into Yom Tov, and therefore it goes basa Ruvain's Tchum, because Ruvain owned it already going into Yom Tov. V'hamayser behemo l'raya, and if a person gives his behemo over to a shepherd, he gives it to the babysitter to watch, even though he only gave it to the shepherd, he only gave it to the babysitter on Yom Tov, still the halacha is harehi keragli haraya. We go basa the shepherd. So that's not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, we said lahedya, that if you give your animal to the shepherd, that you go baser the ragli habaylim. Rabbi Daisa said that you go baser the ragli ha-shepherd, that you go baser the tchum of the shepherd. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Daisa. Says the Gemara, no, it's not necessarily true. Afilu temu Rabbi Daisa. We could even say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Daisa. V'loy kashan, it's not a stira. Kan b'raya echad, kan b'shnei rayim. It depends how many shepherds there are in town. It depends if there's one shepherd in town or if there are two shepherds in town. If there's only one shepherd in town, so then it was obvious that you were going to give your behemoth to that shepherd. So even though you never actually physically gave it to him before Yom Tov, being that he's the only shepherd in town, so everyone knows that that's what you're going to be doing with the animal on Yom Tov, so we view it as if it was Kilu was already in the shepherd's possession going into Yom Tov. And that's when Rabbi Daisa said that you go basar the tchum of the shepherd, because that's discussing a case where there only is one shepherd. Whereas Kan B'Shnei Rayim, our Mishnah was discussing a case where there's more than one shepherd. When there's more than one shepherd and you didn't give it to any specific shepherd before Yom Tov, so that's when we go baser the ragli abaylim. And says the Gemara, this is not a daichik. Deikanamin. I'll even bring you a raya from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is meduyik like this. Our Mishnah is meduyik that it's specifically talking in a case where there's two shepherds. Deketani livnayay l'raya. When it says the case that you give the animal to your shepherd, it doesn't just say to your shepherd. It says to your son or to your shepherd. So it's specifically discussing a case where there's more than one person to give it to. So shmamina, you see it's dafka in this case where there's more than one person to give it to. It's specifically in that type of case that that's when our Mishnah said that you go baser the ragle habaylim. That's not necessarily chaylik on Rab Daisa. Rab Daisa spoke about a case where there's one shepherd. When there's one shepherd, that's when we could go baser the ragle a shepherd, even though you only gave it to him on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara that Amar Rabbi Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, halacha k'Rabbi Daisa. The halacha is like Rabbi Daisa. So now that seems almost like he's saying that it's a machlaikis, but the halacha is like Rabbi Daisa anyways. Ask the Gemara, Umiyama Rabbi Yechanan Hachi, would Rabbi Yechanan really paskin like Rabbi Daisa over our Mishnah, over a Stam Mishnah? V'ha'amar Rabbi Yechanan halacha k'Stam Mishnah. But we have a memory from Rabbi Yechanan that Rabbi Yechanan said that the halacha always follows a Stam Mishnah. So why, if it's Utnan, and we have our Mishnah, which is a Stam Mishnah, and it says that Habehema va'akelim karagli habaylim. And it says that you, if you give it to the shepherd, you go baser the ragli habaylim. You always go based on the baylim. So how could Rabbi Yechanan tell us in this case that the halacha is like Rabbi Daisa, that if you give your animal to a shepherd on Yom Tif, that you go basar the ragli a shepherd? Says the Gemara, because it's not really a machlekes. We already said it's not really a machlekes. It's not a stam mishnah against Rabbi Daisa. Our mishnah was talking about two shepherds in the town. Rabbi Daisa was talking about one shepherd. Meaning, when Rabbi Yochanan said that the halacha is like Rabbi Daisa, he really was just coming to emphasize this point that Rabbi Daisa is not being chaylik on our mishnah. Rabbi Daisa is talking about a case where there's one shepherd, and in such a case, einachanami, then we talk. Could go basa the ragli haraya, then we'll go basa the shepherd, because it was obvious that you were going to be giving it to him on Yom Tov. Says the Gemara now, Tan Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, that Shnayim Shashalu Chaluk Echad B'Shutfes. Let's say Reuven and Shimon, they both borrow something B'Shutfes, they borrow a suit together, Reuven's going to use it for part of Yom Tov, and Shimon's going to use it for part of Yom Tov. Zel Leilich Boi Shachris L'Beis HaMedrash. Reuven took it because he wants to go to the Beis Medrash in the morning with that suit. Vizeli kanis be'arvis le'beis hamishta. And Shimon took it because he has a simcha le'el yom tif. He has the bar mitzvah he has to go to le'el yom tif suda. And he wants to use the suit to go to the bar mitzvah. It's a fancy suit. So he wants to use it to go to the bar mitzvah. Okay, great. What's the problem? The problem is that they're in two different locations. And ze erev alav letzafoin, v'ze erev alav ledarim. One of them had to make an erev tchumen to the north, and one of them made, v'ze erev alav ledarim, and the other one made it to the south. So says the Braisa, that ze she erev alav letzafoin, mahalach letzafoin, karagle mi she erev alav ledarim. The one who wants to go to the north, let's say it was Reuven, the Beis Medrash was in the north, so the Reuven who wanted to take it to the north, he's going to be limited by Shimon's Tchum, who made an Erev Tchum into the south. So if Shimon's Tchum will allow Reuven to go to the north, wherever he needs to go, so then great, but if not, then he's not going to be able to go. He's limited by Shimon's Tchum, being that they borrowed it together, they're equal owners in this suit. So now they're each limited by each other. So the one who wants to go to the north is limited by the southern's Erev Tchumen. V'zeh she'erev alav l'darim, mahalech l'darim, karagle mi she'erev alav l'tzafoin. And similarly, the one who wants to go to the south, he's limited by the north guy's Erev Tchumen. V'im mitzu es ha'tchum, and if they mamish made their tchumen on opposite extremes, so like let's say an hour mashal with the Gemara, so they're both, let's say they both batsam live in the city, that's the Gemara in the middle of the page, and Ruve wanted to go to the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is on Lamed Chasam and Aleph. So he made his Erev tchumen all the way at the edge of Rashi, on the left edge of Rashi. And Shimon, he wanted to go to the Beis HaMishta, and the Beis HaMishta is by like Rabbeinu Chananel. So he made his Erev tchumen all the way by the right right edge of Taisus. So now Reuven, who made his Erev to the left, can't go at all to Taisus. And Shimon, who made his Erev to the right, can't go at all to Rashi. So in such a case, being that they both made their Erev Tchumins to the other extremes, so Harezet lo yazi zena mimkaima. So they're not going to be able to move the suit at all from its place. The suit's going to have to stay by the Gemara. It's going to have to stay in the city or in the house, wherever it is that they started. It's going to have to stay right there. It's going to be limited, and you're not going to be able to move it at all. And says the Gemara a similar halacha, although here it's going to be a little bit different, that Itmar was stated, that Shnayim shalakhu chavisu behema b'shutfis. So now we're not talking about a suit. That's going to be the ikar chilek between this case and the case of the Braisa. Here we're talking about where two people, Reuven and Shimon, they bought something b'shutfis. What they bought was a chavis, a barrel of wine, and they bought a behema. So now, the reason why they bought it together right before Yom Tov is because they're going to want to drink some of the wine on Yom Tov and eat the behema for the Sudas Yom Tov. So they bought the wine and they bought the behema before Yom Tov, but they didn't split it yet. They're only going to split it on Yom Tov. So now, if they split it before Yom Tov, then great. Whatever wine Reuven gets, he'll use, and he'll be limited to only his trum, and whatever part of the behema he gets will be tully in his trum, and whatever Shimon gets will be tully in his trum. In this case, they didn't split it yet. They didn't split it before Yom Tov. They bought it before Yom Tov, but they did it al das to split it. They were going to split it on Yom Tov. So now, L'chayre, this is going to be talui, and we're going to see in the Gemara that this is talui on the complicated sugya of Breira, which we'll try to hopefully simplify. And that is Breira, the concept of Breira we've had in the past, is the idea of whether or not something can be designated, can be decided retroactively. So in this case, Reuven and Shimon, they bought this wine together, they bought this behemoth together, and now on Yom Tov they're going to split it. So let's talk about one of the cases. Let's talk about the case of the wine. So they bought this wine together, and they're going to split it on Yom Tov. So now, if you hold a Breira, so then L'chayra we could say that when they split the wine on Yom Tov, and Reuven gets his half of the wine, and Shimon gets his half of the wine, we could say that retroactively, it's as if when they bought it on Erev Yom Tov, this was always Reuven's, and the half that Shimon got was always Shimon's. So now, Reuven's half he could take wherever his tchum can take him to. And Shimon could take his wine wherever his tchum will take him to. He's not going to be limited by Reuven, and Reuven's not going to be limited by Shimon, because retroactively, we could say that this was always Reuven's, already before Yom Tov, and retroactively, we could say about Shimon's wine that it was always his even before Yom Tov. That would be if we hold the Breira. And the Chayra, that if we don't hold the Breira, if we say that something can't be decided retroactively, so then each one is going to be limited by the other one's Tchum. Because being that it was owned by both of them going into Yom Tov, even though now on Yom Tov they split it, being that going into Yom Tov it was owned by both, so it's going to be stuck, it's going to be limited to each one's Tchum. That's l'chayr what the halacha should be in this case. So it's, what does the Maisa, what does the Gemara say in such a case? Says the Gemara, you have these two, you have Reuven and Shimon, that they bought the wine and the behema together. So Rav Amar, Rav says an interesting halacha, Rav says that chavis muteres u behema asura. Rav says that when Reuven, let's say, gets his chelik of the wine, so he could bring it wherever his tchum will allow him to bring it. He's not going to be limited by Shimon. L'chayra, meaning Rav holds a breira. And he says by the chavis that you could take it wherever your tchum allows you to take it. However, ubehema asura, when it comes to the meat, when you divide up the meat of the behema, when you shech the behema and you divide the meat, so the meat, that's going to be asur. That you're not going to be able to take. Asur in this context just means that you're not going to be able to take it wherever your tchum allows you to. Rather, you're going to be limited by Shimon's tchum. That's what asura means. It means you're going to be limited by the other one's tchum. That's what Rav says. Ushmul amar, Shmuel says that no, chavis nami asura. Both the case of the chavis and the case of the basar, the behema, in both cases, you're going to be limited by the other one's tchum. So Shmuel is very easy to understand. Shmuel doesn't hold of breira. And being that he doesn't hold the breira, and going into Yom Tov, the wine and the meat, the behema, was owned by both Shutfim, it was owned by Reuven and Shimon. So now when you divide it on Yom Tov, that's not going to help you. Each one's going to be limited by the other one's tchum, because we don't say breira. That makes a lot of sense. But ask the Gemara, Mike Savar Rav. Rav's very difficult to understand. He seems to contradict himself, Minei Ubei. Iku Savar Yesh Breira. If he holds of Yesh Breira, which is what it would seem to indicate from the fact that he says that the Chavis is Muteres, that you could take the wine wherever your tchum allows you to, meaning we say that retroactively this wine was always yours, going into Yom Tif it was just yours, and that's why you could take it wherever your tchum allows. So, but if he really holds a breira, so then afilu behema tishteri. So then the behema also, when you shech the behema and you divide the meat, you should also say that retroactively this chelik of the behema was always yours, and now you should be able to take it wherever your tchum allows. And if you say, okay, let's see from that which he says that the behema you can't take wherever you want, you're limited by the other one's tchum, said Rav must hold of Ein Breira, but then if he doesn't hold of Breira, if he doesn't hold that we could say retroactively that this was always your chelek, so then afilu chavis nami asura. So then the wine, the case of the wine, that should also be limited to the other one's tchum. And if when Reuven gets his half of the wine, Reuven shouldn't be allowed to just bring it wherever his tchum allows. Going into Yom Tif, it was half owned by Shimon. They were a shutfim. It was owned by both of them. So Reuven should be limited to Shimon's tchum. So says the Gemara, La'ilam kasavar yesh breira. Really, Rav Shita is at yesh breira. And that's why the wine case makes a lot of sense. That once they divided on Yom Tov, Reuven gets his half, so we'll say that that half was always his. Retroactively, we'll look at it like even already before Yom Tov, this chelik of the wine was always Reuven's. And Mamela now, it's why should he be limited by Shimon's tchum? It was always Reuven's. So Reuven could take it wherever his tchum allows. That makes sense. So now the question is then what happened by the behema? Why when they shecht the behema and he takes his half of the behema, why don't we say retroactively this was always his half and now he could take it wherever his tchum allows? Why by the case of the behema is he limited by the other one's tchum? So says the Gemara that Rav holds yesh breira, but v'shanya behema, the case of the behema is different. There he's limited. The kayan ki tchum in mehadadi. The reason is because the behema you shechted it on Yom Tif and then you divide the meat. Lemaisa, going into Yom Tif, you can't say that this was always my half of the behema, because your half of the behema benefited from Shimon's half. Because when the behema is alive, it gets its nourishment from the nourishment of the of whatever it eats, everything. It has its whole life is shared with its whole body. The right half gives to the left half gives to the right half. It's all one entity. So Reuven's half that he ends up taking on Yom Tif was really, let's say, he got the left half of the behema. So that was really gaining from the right half. Also, it was gaining from Shimon's half. So we view Reuven's half, we view the left half of the behema as if it has like. It has Shimon's part of his chelik. It has the right half of the behema inside of it because it was getting nourishment from it. So now it's true that we could say breira, and we could say that retroactively this was always Reuven's chelik, but Reuven's chelik has Shimon inside of it also. It has Shimon's chelik inside of it also because it was getting nourishment from Shimon's half. And therefore that's why by the case of the behema, it's going to be limited to Shimon's tchum. Lastly, Gemara, if that's really the way we view it, that each half of the behema gets its nourishment partially from the other half, and therefore we view it like Shimon's chelik is inside of Reuven's animal, is inside of his half. So then, ask the Gemara, Amrilei Rav Kahana of Rav Asi l'Rav, Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, they asked Rav, if that's the way you're viewing it, so then, le'isser muksa le'chashashu, le'isser tchumin chashashu? So then why are you dealing with only tchumin? Why are you so stuck in dealing with hilchis tchumin, and you're saying that whatever, wherever their tchums will overlap, at least that'll be mutter. It's going to be limited by Shimon's tchum, but it will be mutter to move it. It's just that it's going to be limited to Shimon's tchum. What do you mean? What about muksa? What happened to muksa? If it has part of Shimon's kilu, we view it like it has Shimon's chelik inside of Reuven's chelik, so then Reuven's chelik should be muksa, because Reuven's chelik is muksa to Reuven. Shimon's chelik is muksa to Reuven, because Shimon and Reuven, they're makbid about each other. So Shimon's food is muksa to Reuven. Being that Shimon's chelik is muksa to Reuven, if you're going to tell me that we're going to view Reuven's chelik as if it has some of Shimon's chelik inside of it, so then Reuven's chelik should be muksa. Forget about chumen, it's going to be muksa. You can't be able to, you're not going to be able to move it at all. Elamai, what are you going to tell me? That no, we don't view it like that. Well, if you're not going to view it like that, so then why are you being chayshish for tchumen? Why are you limiting it to Shimon's tchum? Mimanavshach, if you're viewing it like that, so then you have a more serious problem. You have muksa. And if you're not viewing it like that, so then even tchumen shouldn't be a problem. So says the Gemara that Shasik Rav, that Rav remained silent and Rav didn't answer, which, like, is usually the case when we have a Shasik Rav. The Rishonim argue if that means he was Shasik because he agreed and he didn't have a teretz, and really he's being chayzer, or shasak rav just means he didn't care to answer. He had a teretz, we all know what it is. Rav had a teretz, he just didn't feel that he needed to defend himself, and that's why he was shasak, al kopanim, Rav was shasak, and we have this machlekes about breira. Rav holds of breira, and Shmuel does not hold of breira. So says the Gemara, my haviyala, what's the halacha l'maisa with regards to breira? Do we hold a breira, or do we not hold a breira? Rav seems to say that yesh breira, it's not clear if he was chayzer or not, but Rav seems to say yesh breira, Shmuel seems to say ein breira, my haviyala, what's the halacha? So says the Gemara, that's the machlekes, of course. Rav Hayshaya Amar Yesh Breira, Rav Yechnan Amar Ein Breira. Rav Hayshaya says that we do hold of Breira, that we do say Breira, we do use the principle of Breira. Rav Yechnan says that no, we do not say Breira. Ask the Gemara, V'savar Rav Hayshaya Yesh Breira. Is that really true? You mean to tell me that Rav Hayshaya holds a Breira? I'll prove it to you that Rav Hayshaya does not hold a Breira. What's the Raya? Vatna. We learned in the Mishnah, and it's a Mishnah that we quoted earlier in the Masechta, all the way back on Daf Yud Amid Aleph. And just to give some brief background, so we're going to be discussing the din of Seif Tuma Latzeis. The din of Seif Tuma Latzeis is like this. If you have a mace in a room, if a person has a mace in a room, so everything and everyone in the room becomes Tame mace. Everything in, under the same oil, under the same roof, everything becomes Tame. Now, what about the connecting doorways and the connecting rooms? So if the doorways are open, if the door is open to the different doorways or rooms, so then the Tuma travels all the way through. And everything is going to be tame. Technically, if the doors are closed, so then the tuma should stay locked up in the room, and the tuma is not going to travel to the connecting through the connecting doorways. However, that's when we come to this din now of seif tuma latzeis. If there's a mace in a room and all the doors are closed, and so there's a din of seif tuma latzeis that even if the door is closed, if the mace is going to eventually leave outside that, through that doorway, the mace is inside the house. It's got to get out of the house to go to the Beis HaKfaris. So if the mace is going to leave the room through that doorway, even though right now the door is closed, being that it's going to open and the mace is going to be taken out through that doorway, so now even if you have, let's say, a kli that's inside that doorway, that kli is tame even though the door is closed. So even though it's not in the Ayla mace, so to speak, being this is the din of soif tomolatzes, being that the mace is going to leave through that doorway, so we view it that there's toma right now going through that doorway, and anything in that doorway or in the connecting room to that, everything's going to be Tameh. Now, what's the halacha, though, if we have a mace in a room, and there are multiple doorways? There's a mace in a room in a house, let's say, and there are multiple doorways. We don't know which way, through which doorway the mace is going to be taken. All the doors are closed. It's going to have to go out of the house through some doorway, but we don't know which doorway it's going to go out of. All the doors are closed. So now, let's say there's four doorways. There's A, B, C, and D. So now, which one becomes Tameh? Do all of them become Tameh? Which one gets the din of Seif Tuma Latzeis? So that's the Mishnah over here. So says the Mishnah, but now we learned in the Mishnah that Hameis Bebayis Veloy Psachim Harbe. Let's say a person has a mace inside of a room in the house, and there are doorways all around, multiple doorways. Let's use the example of four. There's A, B, C, and D. There are four different doorways. So Veloy Psachim Harbe, there are a lot of different doorways, and they're all closed. So Kulan Temein. Being that all things are equal, we have no reason to assume it's going to go out of one doorway more than the other. So we give a din of Seif Tuma Latzeis to all four doorways. Anything that's in any one of these four doorways is already Tame right now, because that's the din of Seif Tuma Latzeis. However, says the Mishnah, that Niftach Echon Mehen, if let's say doorway A gets opened up, and so now we have something to be taila it on, which through which doorway the mace is going to go. There's a reason to give it to that through in that doorway, because that door is already open. So now, who tame v'kulan toheren? So if you open up doorway A, so now only doorway A gets tuma, and well, for sure it does, it's open, but that's matzil, now that saves the other doorways. Now doorways B, C, and D, so now those will not get the din of Seif Tuma Latzeis. The Kulan Tahirin, the other ones are tar. Meaning B, C, and D are tar. if there's a kli in the doorways of B, C, or D, so that kli is going to remain tar. Let's say a person, he didn't open doorway A. Let's say he just thought, b'machshava, he said, I'm going to take out the mace through doorway A. He had a machshava to take it out through that doorway, or through a certain window that was 4x4 tfachim, which is the minimum size of a Pesach. So now, being that he had this machshava, even though he didn't actually open the doorway, even that machshava is matzelas ala psachim kulan. Even that machshava alone is able to save the other doorways, and now a kli in doorway B, C, or D is not going to become tameh. Beishamay Oimrim, Beishamay says that Vuhu Shechishiv Olav actually Yamas Hameis. This that it helps to just do a machshava, meaning without a maisa, without opening the door. This that it helps to just think, to just have a machshava to take the mace out of doorway A, that's only if a person has that machshava before the person died, before the mace died. It's only if before the mace died, so now if before the mace, the person, he sees that the mace is about to die, so he says, okay, when the mace dies, I'm going to take him out of doorway A. So now, that prevents that tumah never becomes chal on doorways B, C, or D. The machshava could prevent tumah from ever entering. However, if a person has machshava after the mace died, so now the mace is dead already, now tumah is going through all four doorways, A, B, C, or D, now you have machshava, I'm going to take out the mace through doorway A, says Beis Shammai, that doesn't work. Machshava can't stop the tumah once it's already going. So being that there's already tumah going through all the doorways, you can't just now think, oh, I'm going to take the mace out of doorway A, and that's somehow going to stop the tumah now from going through doorways B, C, or D. It's not going to work. It could only prevent the tumah from coming. So if before the mace died, you had that machshava, then that would make it that the tumah is only going to go out of doorway A. It's not going to go through B, C, or D. But it's not going to work after the mace died. Beisil says that no, this machshava could even work after the mace died. Even after the mace died, we have doorways A, B, C, and D. So right now, tumah is going out all four. You have a machshava now that no, I'm going to take the mace outside of doorway A. That makes it now that tumah does not go out through doorways B, C, and D. Now, right now, we could understand Beis Hillel, that when Beis Hillel says that this machshava works even after the mace dies, that it works retroactively. We could say that Beis Hillel holds a breira, and that the way this works is that, let's say, there was a kli in doorway C when the mace died, and all the doors were closed, and you didn't have a machshava yet. The mace dies. So now all the doorways are tameh. That means the kli in doorway number C becomes tameh. Then you have a machshava, I'm going to take the mace outside through doorway A. So Beis Hillel says that works even after the mace dies. It could be it works even retroactively. We could learn that that's the pshat of Beis Hillel, that it works even retroactively. That we'll use breira, that retroactively there was never tumah outside the other doorways. The tumah never went to B, C, and D. It only went through A. And now retroactively, the kli that was in doorway C is really tar. It's not going to be tameh anymore. Now it's really going to be tar. However, says the Gemara V'itmar Allah, we have a statement regarding this Mishnah, that Amar Rav Hishaya, who we just said before, holds of Breira, that Rav Hishaya commented on this Mishnah, and he said that when Beis Hillel says that it helps to have a machshava even after the mace dies, it's only l'tayres ha-psachim mikanu l'haba. It's only gonna make it that now if you put a kli into one of the doorways of B, C, or D, so now that kli won't become mekabel tumah, because the tumah is not going out through that doorway anymore. But if there was already a kli there from before, like in the case that we explained before, so there was already a kli in doorway C, so that doesn't go away. That tumah is not going to go away. We're not going to use breira to make it go away. It's only, says the Gemara, mikanu lahaba in, but lemafrei aloi. It's only from now and onwards that there's no tumah going out through doorways B, C, and D when you have the machshava that you're going to take the mace out of doorway A. But lemafrei, we don't take the tumah away, meaning we don't hold the breira. So how could you tell me that Rav Hishaya holds a breira? We see from this statement of Rav Hishaya that he doesn't hold a breira. So says the Gemara in Achanami, Epoch, switch it around. We said that Rav Hishaya holds a Breira, and that Rav Yochanan doesn't hold a Breira. We'll switch it around. That Rav Hishaya Amar Ein Breira, Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Breira. It was Rav Hishaya that doesn't hold a Breira, and Rav Yochanan holds a Breira. Rav Yochanan is the one that does hold a Breira, and as we'll see in the following shir, that the Gemara is going to say that that's not so simple either.